Let us hear God's word as we turn to Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we read from the first verse. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all the saints throughout Achaia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us, as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. The Apostle Paul certainly knew what it was to endure hardship, especially in the course of his gospel ministry. When he writes to the congregation in Corinth, he speaks in the first chapter of great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. That in verse 8 of the first chapter. Indeed, he talks even about a sentence of death resting upon the gospel workers. Towards the end of the letter, he gives really a survey of what he had endured in his missionary career thus far. That's still relatively early in his missionary career. In chapter 11, from verse 23 through to 29, we have a list of many of the things he had had to face as a preacher of the gospel. In prison, flogged, beaten, stoned, shipwrecked, and some of those a number of times. And along with those, we might say, physical hardships, he says, also, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. So Paul was a man who understood from his own experience what it was to endure trials and hardships. Now, we may never experience the level of hardship that Paul knew. We very probably will not. And yet, we know that there will be trials, there will be sufferings ahead of us as the Lord's people in this new year that we are about to begin. The Lord himself warned his disciples in John 16:33, "In the world you will have tribulation." And there's no doubt about that. It is the lot of the people of God to endure hardships and suffering for the Lord's sake. And that's true particularly in gospel witness. We should not be surprised that gospel work is hard, that it meets with opposition, that it leads to trials and difficulties. Jesus assured us that would be the case. But if we had to leave it there, it would be a very depressing message. And we'd be entering a new year with our heads down, convinced that there's nothing but difficulty ahead of us. And yet that's not what the Word of God tells us. Whilst we are warned there'll be trials, there'll be hardships, there'll be suffering, we're also told about the resources that we have as the Lord's people. The Apostle Paul, early in 2 Corinthians 1, has very valuable lessons for us about the source of our comfort in trials, and also about the way in which we are to comfort others. And so we want to turn today to 2 Corinthians 1, and we're looking particularly at verses 3 to 7, the ministry of comfort. The ministry of comfort. Here are words from the Lord himself to encourage us and to prepare us for whatever lies ahead in the new year soon to begin. The ministry of comfort. And there are two things that Paul sets before us in these verses. We have, first of all, God's ministry of comfort. God's ministry of comfort. Perhaps we don't often think of the work of God in those terms, and yet that's how Paul describes it in these verses. God's ministry of comfort. As one commentator has said about these verses, this is the most eloquent passage on comfort in the entire New Testament. And that surely is the case. Here are very striking and very encouraging words. They came particularly home to me as I was a number of months ago preparing a sermon on verse 11 of this chapter on prayer and the dynamics of prayer. But in reading through these verses, verses 3 to 7 also struck me. I thought, I must come back and preach on those sometime. And this is the sometime in God's providence. But they are words full of encouragement. And Paul begins with heartfelt praise. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps we read those words and we don't think very much about them. They're fairly familiar. And yet if you look at them, are they not a little strange? The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. How are we to understand this description of God? How can God be the God of our Lord Jesus Christ? Because we believe he is God. Well, as far as Jesus in his human nature is concerned, God to him is his God. We're thinking of Jesus, the incarnate Son, in his human nature, like us. And when he took human nature, he placed himself in the place of submission, subordination to the will of his Father in heaven. So what Paul describes in Philippians 2, Jesus humbled himself. That's exactly what we have here in his human nature. The Lord Jesus Christ submits to the will of God the Father. God is his God. He is the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. But then in his divine nature, the Father to Jesus is his Father. It is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his human nature, God is his God. In his divine nature, God is his Father. Here, of course, we have another glimpse of the Trinitarian nature of God. Sometimes people think the Trinity is only in one or two texts in Scripture. The Trinity is everywhere in the New Testament, everywhere. Again and again, we have glimpses of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so here, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the eternal Son of the eternal Father. Why is Paul speaking in this way as he praises God? Paul reminds us in these verses of how, as Christians united to Christ, we share in his sonship. Now, he is a son by nature. We are sons by adoption. But what a privilege. As the people of God, we share in the sonship of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so through Jesus flow all the blessings that we require as sons of the living God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, all that we require to be sons of God is already provided. Then Paul perhaps shocks us when he says in verse 5 about the sufferings of Christ that flow over into our lives. Here we are thinking of blessing, and suddenly Paul is speaking about suffering and the sufferings of Christ. And he says they flow over into our lives. What does he mean? What is he saying? He's not suggesting, of course, that somehow we suffer as a contribution to salvation, as if the sufferings of the Lord Jesus on the cross were lacking and weren't enough to save us. Certainly not. That isn't what Paul means. What Christ suffered for our salvation is full and complete. It isn't that. And Paul is saying something more than just we suffer for Jesus' sake as we live the Christian life. There's something more going on here that Paul is describing. He's telling us that there is a sense in which Christians, in union with Christ, suffer with him. It's a dimension of our fellowship as Christians that maybe we'd rather not think about. Certainly not think about too much. So often for Christians, when we talk about fellowship, it's in terms of joy and happiness. And that's right and proper. But Paul's also telling us there's another side to our fellowship with the Lord. That fellowship involves suffering with Christ. In Philippians 3:10, Paul writes about the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Now, maybe we think, well, we'd prefer Paul hadn't said that. It's not something that's comfortable. The fellowship of sharing in Christ's sufferings. Sure, it's something we'd like to avoid if we could. And yet there it is in Scripture. One element of our fellowship in union with Christ is that we suffer with Christ. The sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, as Paul tells us here. We like to avoid it, and yet we can't. It's part of being a disciple of Jesus, that we are called to suffer with him. Paul puts it this way in chapter 4 and verse 10 of this very letter. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus. That's a very striking expression. That's not something that makes for our comfort. We suffer with Christ as his disciples. There is such a close identification between Jesus and his people that we suffer with him. And the scriptures would tell us he suffers with us. Do you remember the conversion of Paul, of Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus Road? Where Jesus said to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Now, Paul hadn't literally persecuted Jesus. He probably had never met him. But Jesus identified so closely with his suffering people. To persecute them was to persecute Jesus. There's that amazing union with Christ. We share in the sufferings of the Lord Jesus, and he shares in our suffering. And that's what Paul is telling us here. The sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives. It should not surprise us as Christians that we face hardship. We face difficulties, we face trials, we face opposition. Indeed, for many of our brothers and sisters across the world, even today, they face persecution and violence. Sometimes we're surprised when it's hard to be a Christian. Sometimes we're surprised when we suffer. And yet the Bible should leave us in no doubt that's part and parcel of being a disciple of Jesus. There are all the hardships that life brings to everybody. And there are additional trials and tests specifically because we're Christians. Those who would proclaim the prosperity gospel, who would say if you just have enough faith, you'll sail through life. You'll not be sick, you'll not be poor, you'll not face any hardships. It is not a biblical message. It is a twisting and a perversion of what the Bible says. The sufferings of Christ, Paul says, flow over into our lives. And we mustn't be surprised when these things happen. God has warned us. But then Paul immediately goes on to provide positive encouragement. He doesn't leave us burdened with the thought that the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives. But then he goes on in the very same verse, in verse 5, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. That's what we need to hear, isn't it? When we've been reminded that there will be hard times and trying times ahead, we need to hear that through Christ our comfort overflows. It overflows. God does not simply give us the minimum blessing that's required, as if he just gave us a few drops to get us by. The comfort overflows. It's the language of abundance, isn't it? The language of suffering is also the language of abundance. It overflows. But the comfort also overflows. And we have the assurance of the Lord himself that whatever God calls his people to pass through, whatever it is, it will be matched, indeed it will be outweighed by the comfort that he affords us in Christ. There's the other wonderful, encouraging aspect of our union with Christ. In union with Christ, we share in his sufferings. But also in union with Christ, we share in his comfort. And that comfort will match and outweigh any hardships, any sufferings that God calls us to endure. We have that assurance. We don't know what it is we're facing in the next 12 months. But this we do know, that the comfort of Christ will overflow in every situation God calls us to face. And that's why Paul describes God as he does, the Father of compassion, verse 3. The Father of compassion. We're accustomed to think of God as Father, yet we should never take that for granted. By nature, we're strangers and aliens and outsiders. God's our enemy because of our sin. It's by grace that he's our Father. It's a privilege. It's a blessing. He is the Father, our Father by grace. Never lose the sense of privilege of having God as your Father. Multitudes don't. Psalm 103, verse 13. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. He is our Father, the Father of compassion. There it is in the Old Testament as well as the New. Isn't that beautiful? Compassion. And the word that Paul uses there suggests pity on those who are enduring misery. The misery that we suffer because we're in a fallen world. The misery of sickness and disappointment and failure and death. The misery of backsliding and of disobedience and of alienation from God because of our sins. And it is miserable. And God has compassion on us, and he's compassion on his children in all our miseries. And you see that compassion in every aspect of salvation. Wherever you look in salvation, whatever you think of God doing for us, you see his compassion, because he knows the miseries that we endure. The Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. The God of all comfort. And that word comfort is a very rich word. Perhaps sometimes we think of comfort just as almost patting a child in the head when it's fallen. But comfort in the Bible is a very powerful and a very rich and a very positive word. It has the sense of someone who comes alongside you. Someone on whom you can lean your weight when you can't get along by yourself. That's the word that's used in relation to the Holy Spirit in John 14. The Comforter. And God is the one who is not merely up in heaven to help us, but he's the one who's standing beside us to take our weight and bear our burdens. That's what the word comfort suggests to us. Not a distant God, but a God who is close to us in our trials and our tests. The God of all comfort. There is no lack in God's provision. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing. The God of all comfort. And Paul says that he keeps comforting us. Not just once, not just occasionally in an emergency, but day by day, we have the ongoing comfort of the God who's beside us, that we lean on, and he's sufficient for us, the God of all comfort. It's a description that's full of encouragement for the Christian. And we need not be in any doubt that the necessary comfort will be there in any trouble, Paul says, in any trouble. He sets no restrictions, no limits on God's comfort, as if we might think, well, God will comfort us in that situation, but perhaps here's another where he won't. He's the God of all comfort, and he keeps comforting us in any trouble. There is no trouble that you will encounter. There's no trouble that you can encounter for which God doesn't provide all comfort. He is the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. And surely those are titles that we ought to think about often and meditate on. Let them sink into your heart and think often of God as the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Because we need to remember that. The God who's beside us for us to lean on. He's always there. God's ministry of comfort. But then Paul also speaks here of our ministry of comfort. Our ministry of comfort. Because the blessings we receive from the Lord are not solely for our benefit. They are, but they're not just for us. Listen to what Paul says. He tells us God comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Isn't that a striking description? That in effect we are to be channels of God's comfort and God's blessing to others. Now, of course, first you must have received the comfort from God. If you don't receive the comfort as one of his children, you don't have anything to give to others. You're empty. But if you've received God's comfort in your own heart and life, you've been given an ability to minister to others. And you've been given a responsibility to minister to others. With the ability God gives us comes the task that requires action on our part. We don't simply drink in God's comfort and God's blessing as if we are a sort of spiritual sponge, but it's to flow from us out to others. We're to be channels of the comfort of God. That's a tremendous privilege and a responsibility. Several things Paul says about it. He reminds us of our union with Christ. The sufferings of Christ that come to us because we're united to our Savior, particularly in mind, surely in the context, would be the hardships, the difficulties, the sufferings that come specifically as Christians and in Christian service. God comforts us certainly in all our troubles, whatever form they take, but especially in our sufferings for Jesus' sake. That was the context in which Paul was writing. The hardships he suffered were in gospel ministry, in evangelism, in bringing the word of life in Corinth and elsewhere, in mission. And particularly as we engage in gospel work, as we take the word of life to those around us, there will be hardships, there will be difficulties, there will be disappointments, there will be opposition. Make no mistake about it, it won't be easy. But particularly in that context, as the Lord's people and as the Lord's servants, we receive and we pass on the comfort of the Lord. We're in union with our Savior in the sufferings and in the comfort. And we channel that comfort to our brothers and sisters. And you see very clearly here Paul's pastoral care for the Corinthians. And the kind of pastoral care we are to exercise. You see, this is not a ministry just for professionals. We might be inclined to say, well, that's fine for ministers and elders. And they can do that, but, you know, I'm just an ordinary Christian. But Paul's writing to ordinary Christians. He's writing to the Lord's people, not just to a few of them, but to all of them. And he's saying these things to all Christians. Here is a ministry for you. Whoever has received God's comfort is to minister that comfort to others. And so that really should exclude none of us. If you're a child of God, haven't you received God's comfort in many ways? Think of the times where you've received the Lord's comfort in all sorts of situations. That's what qualifies you to minister to others. It's not having a title or an office or a position. It's having received the Lord's comfort. That qualifies you to minister. To minister the Lord's comfort to your brothers and sisters. In a real biblical sense, we are all to pastor each other. Yes, those called to be pastors and teachers in the church have a special responsibility, but all God's people are to pastor each other, or to minister to one another. And you see Paul's pastoral heart very clearly in these verses. In whatever his circumstances, he's thinking of the Lord's people. If, he says, we are distressed, it's for your comfort and salvation. So if he's in hard times himself, he's thinking, how can I help the Lord's people through this? Or he says, if we are comforted, then it's also for your comfort. In hard times, in easy times, Paul is always thinking, how can I help the Lord's people? How can I minister to them because of what I'm experiencing? Am I distressed? How can I use that to help other Christians? If I'm comforted, how can I use that to help other Christians? And that's how we ought to think of our trials and our tests and our hard times. We need to be asking ourselves, how can I use this experience for the benefit of other Christians? It's very easy when we're being tried and tested to turn in, isn't it? And to think only of yourself. And it's very tempting to do that. But Paul's example is very different. In the trials and the tests, Paul is turning outwards and asking himself, how under God can this experience of mine, this hardship, this testing, this suffering, how can this profit the Lord's people? And as Paul receives God's comfort, he's thinking, how can I comfort others? So he's not centered on himself. He's not wrapped up in his own difficulties. But he's thinking of how can God's people receive benefit? How can I minister to them? And you see the pattern that Paul envisages. He wants to see the Lord's people manifesting patient endurance of suffering. As they receive comfort, it will produce in them patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. So Paul receives God's comfort. He ministers that to other Christians. And what happens? They receive comfort. They're enabled to endure patiently times of hardship and times of difficulty. And that's what Paul, the pastor, longs to see. As he ministers to his brothers and sisters, they're strengthened for trials. So Paul's blessing flows through him to them, and they're better equipped for difficulties and trials. And so Paul's pastor's heart will rejoice. He sees God using him as a channel so that other Christians profit from what he is receiving. We're not to try and hoard God's blessings and keep them to ourselves. We're to let them flow to the Lord's people. Paul, the pastor, longs to see God's people better able to face hardship and difficulty, because he knows God's going to take them through those times. And how wonderful to think, because of the blessing I received and shared with them, they're more ready for those hard times. And that's always a pastor's longing, to see God's people better equipped to face hardship and difficulty. And as you and I receive comfort from the Lord, we're to share it with others. We're to encourage brothers and sisters. We're to help them to be more ready, to be stronger when they face the hardships and the trials. That's a great privilege God gives all of us. But it's also a responsibility not to hoard the comfort, not to keep the blessing to ourselves, but let it flow. Let it flow to others. Encourage them with the comfort God gave you. Talk to others about what God has done for you in your trials, and point them to the Lord who can give them the same strength and grace and help. We don't talk enough with each other about what God is doing for us and what he has done for us. We'll talk about the weather. We'll talk about all sorts of things. But maybe we talk very, very little about what God has done for us. And so the comfort we receive doesn't flow. It stops with us, and others don't profit from it. Paul, a real pastoral care for these brothers and sisters. We are to care for one another as God enables us. And Paul's confident that they will receive blessing. Now, these Corinthians, when you read the two letters to them, they had all kinds of spiritual struggles. In many ways, the congregation in Corinth was a mess. There was immorality, there was unbelief, there was heresy. We might well have been tempted just to write Corinth off altogether. What does Paul say? Our hope for you is firm. Despite the weaknesses and the failings, they're still the Lord's people. And so Paul knows that God will not write them off. God will give them grace. And even as they suffer for Jesus' sake, they'll receive comfort. You'll share in our comfort. The Lord never abandons his people. It's not because you and I are good enough that God gives us comfort. If that was the case, we'd never have any comfort because we're not good enough. And the Corinthians weren't good enough. God comforted them because they were his people. God comforts us because we're his people. With all our imperfections and our weaknesses and our failures. And if we're the Lord's people, he'll never fail us and he'll never forsake us. And he'll give us the comfort we need, often through other Christians who minister to us. God's ministry of comfort is glorious. The God of all comfort. But we're not to hoard the blessing. It's to flow to every Christian who needs that comfort. We're to be channels of God's comfort. There's a ministry for all of us in the coming year. Pray that God will use you in that way. That as you receive blessing, you'll share it. As you receive comfort, you'll pass it on. And Christians will praise God for the help you gave them to face the trials and the tests. The Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, how precious to us. And let the blessing flow to the Lord's people.